Hi everybody, welcome to the second series of Pipeline Pioneers, a podcast series that is focused on learning from the experts and from the community leaders as to how to best build the pipeline. At Sales Intel, we believe that pipeline is the heart and blood of any company. And we also believe that generating pipeline is a team sport. You can't just give it to BDRs or AEs or marketing to go generate the BDR. It truly takes a village to come together to build a pipeline that ultimately converts into revenue. Today, I'm excited to have Alina from Chili Piper with me as a guest. Alina, welcome to the show.
Manoj, it's my pleasure. I love to see how much curiosity and joy you're creating these conversations. And as you said, bringing people together to learn from one another. And that's a value that I share with you.
No, you're great. You're great, Alina. You're an inspiration for many, many entrepreneurs, especially in the B2B space. So to kick things off, Alina, why don't we start with your introduction about Chili Piper? And in your capacity, how do you see influencing the pipeline or generating the pipeline for the business?
Thank you, Manoj, for adding some color from both angles, from my experience and to how we actually got to be interested in solving for sales as opposed to anything else. So I started the company in 2016 with my co-founder, and he was the half that was my GTM expert, and I was on the engineering side. I come from engineering. I had a very strong desire to solve for the problem that he was seeing in the marketplace. And that's why we call the company Chili, as in hot, and Piper, pipeline, is my mind that was always on effectiveness and of efficiency, and his mind trying to solve GTM puzzles. And together we said, we're making this pipeline hotter.
Now it makes sense. I always wondered, like, why Chili Piper? Where did the name come from? So thank you for sharing that with the audiences here. That's great. So, Alina, you are very active on social channels and events. You're a distinguished speaker at conferences, and you're also a giver, right? You're always sharing the best practices that's making Chili Piper successful. Let's start with your role in ICP as a co-CEO. Like, where do you see your role, and how do you influence the pipeline generation for Chili Piper?
So in the past years, I also became an evangelist. And as a CEO, when you're an evangelist, there's a lot of pipeline pressure on you. And that right now for me, it's represented in the numbers. I actually have 50% of opportunities come from influence from social. We track that in there by, we've created our own system in which we look at how many accounts have engaged with my account. So we'll only look at account information, not other person information. And then we look in our opportunity pipeline, the ones that are open, and we see that 50% of them interact with my posts. So we know that they're definitely an impact on the pipeline. So that comes with a lot of pressure. As an evangelist, I see how one day I feel less inspired to post, or, you know, I might post something that might be triggering for someone, can put that pipeline at risk. So I feel it from that perspective. But also in the past 2 years, I've decided to feel the GTM pain myself and be a marketer. That's why I was the acting CMO on LinkedIn as well. And I was feeling the pressure of putting the RevOps tools in place creating the right marketing campaigns in HubSpot and all these pains, as I was feeling them deeply. I became a completely different CEO for my business because I became the person that was feeling the pain the most.
Yeah, so owning the GTM and starting with the marketing. So very first step, as you're owning the GTM, as you made the transition from engineering to, okay, let me help you build the pipeline. Let me show you how it is done. ICP is at the top of it, right? If you don't know who your ideal customer profile is, then you're not utilizing the resources that you have efficiently, right? How did you go about defining or refining the ideal customer profile for your business?
At the beginning, it was my ICP was my husband. Whatever he was encountering as a problem, I was the engineer behind it. That's the closest one can get to your ICP, right? It's the person who sleeps next to you. But if you are yourself the ICP, then it becomes a lot easier to know what to focus on to building. But what the problem is that you first have to become that ICP in order to decide down the funnel. If there are a different approach to building business, which is let me take this interesting problem and see which ICP kind of attaches to that problem, I think that it means that the strategy is on the wrong track. I think that it's a lot easier to have someone in mind and build for them as opposed to find a big technological breakthrough or some big problem that you might see in the market and try to adjust your strategy around it. It feels a lot easier to just focus on that first the first person that you observe to having the pain, expand for that. If there are not as many people that are feeling that pain, then obviously you need to rethink and you're in a different stage of the company.
Right. So in ICP, you know, I see ICP as a combination of the type of companies. You know, there you can classify the companies on based on firmographic, technographic, you know, many different factors you can classify. Okay, here's the type of companies that we do well with. We do well with like smaller companies, or we do, you know, well with companies that are mid-sized or the large enterprises, right? And within those ICP, we sell to demand gen. It seems like your persona within this ICP is this, but when you took over marketing, B2B space is so huge, right? And anybody and everybody could use Chili Piper solution. How did you define that, you know what, our playground is this. We're gonna deal with companies that are $100 million in revenue to $1 billion revenue, or 100 employees to 10,000 employees, or your ICP was like anybody who has a form and needs the meetings can use my product.
That you're very right to refine it on the B2B use case, not the broader B2C. Within the B2B, the characteristics of the business are critical representative of your ICP, and the firmographics of the company are something that I think every company is going to have to adjust, whatever state it might be. When we started, we had some hypothesis of what that company was, and we kept kind of moving our slider. At the beginning, we were closer to SMBs, but what we realized that my strength and my co-founder's strength is definitely on the enterprise. We've tried to do smaller businesses with PLG and efficiencies at scale, and while that's a very beautiful journey, if you have the right skill set for it, there are a lot of companies that manage to do well on at the beginning of that complexity of a company. Whereas my brain and the way my brain has functioned is to look at broader complexities that have additional limits on how they interact with one another. So for me, enterprise is definitely where I thrive. And as a result, our company does better and better when we go after that firmographic.
Got it. In specific verticals, or you're vertical agnostic?
I think that in our case, we do a lot better with early adopters, so companies that move very fast in their decision making, which tends to be in SaaS.
Yeah.
Obviously, we still do well with those that are slower, but it just takes them a while to come to us. So yeah, we definitely focus on SaaS companies that are fast risers.
That's great. And my last question on ICP, and then we'll move to the next topic here. Now that you define that, you know what, SaaS companies in the called high tech space and in enterprise, those are my ICPs. How do you measure the success of all your go to market programs? You know, whether it's your paid or your organic outreaches of market.
I've identified about 100, no, I'll narrow it down to the smaller subset. So I've identified around 36 growth plays for any given company, has about 36 ways in which it can go to market. And within that go to market, And I'll take an example. So let's say that you decide that you want to bet all your money, all your pennies as a company to SEO, because you know really, really well SEO, and that's going to be your lever for growth. Once you select one of these 36 growth plays, which is going to play within your strength, you have to figure out the best way to measure impact in that particular channel. And every channel has very different measurements for impact. On SEO, you'll probably start to understand how to better refine your building links, or how you're going to better define your partnerships with the higher ranked companies. You'll start correlating high traffic with the pipeline, and you'll start looking at correlations between those two. So I think it's highly dependent on which channel you select first out of the 36, and then get really, really good at measurement on that particular channel, depending on what the business outcomes you might have.
This is great. Well, AI, everybody's talking about AI. We all have started to use AI on a daily basis. Where do you see AI impacting the pipeline generation phase of B2B companies?
So I'll tie it back to the questions you had prior, which is how do you measure channels? And for us, LinkedIn is a channel that is probably one of the top in the pennies allocation that you have in the game. And the reason why LinkedIn is such a better channel is because our brains have such a short span these days, and we all feel bombarded by information at any point in time. Even when we're recording a podcast like this one, I'm afraid that my phone is going to buzz, or that somebody's going to Slack me about some business some urgency on the business front. And that kind of overwhelm gets us to have a glimpse of release when we look at social media scroll. You get a some sort of form of calmness into the sea of crazy. And as a result, social media is one of the most powerful channels right now for attention. And LinkedIn seems to be one of the remaining social media channels where it's still somewhat sane. I don't know how long that will be, but right now it seems somewhat sane. And as a result, we've started utilizing on that channel a lot of AI to measure impact as well. I can dig more into that, but it's.
Yeah, we would love to spend a minute on how do you use AI on LinkedIn as a social channel to measure the performance of your efforts.
So the first piece that's really hard is attribute engagement from a particular LinkedIn post to that opportunity in Salesforce. And LinkedIn doesn't make this data available right now. I hope that they will eventually do, but we can use AI to bridge that gap, and we feed it my social media posts. It looks at the person at the company that engaged with my post, but checks which company they're at, because there's a lot of complexity in kind of figuring out this account to person correspondence
Mapping it.
via just bots. But the bots can make the autonomous decisions on their own, and they create the right spreadsheet with the right account, and then it's very easy to do a cross check between the account that has an open opportunity and the account that was identified by the bot. And then there can be additional agent identification of that kind of attribution, because in some cases you might have some opportunities that have been reopened or that have not been flagged correctly. So it gets really imperfect down the stream, but AI can make those decisions for you and do all the ifs or ifs in the attribution channel. So the attribution and AI can is very easy to do. AI can help us with all those
The
use cases that,
attribution.
yeah.
That's great. It's great. All right. So now let's switch the gears, and we are going to play an interactive game here, Lina. I'm going to share my screen, and you can see my screen, right, with the 100
Yep.
pennies. All
Yes, I
right.
am.
So here's how this game goes. As we all know, growth doesn't come from just one channel, right? You may have a primary channel. In your case, it seems like it's social, LinkedIn. But we as marketeers, we as go-to-market experts, who have responsibility to generate the pipeline, we try different channels and we allocate our budget across the board, right? And in this game, your goal is to use your 100 pennies that you got and distribute them across these channels that generate pipeline, with the goal to generate enough pipeline to hit your revenue numbers that you have for this year, how will you invest these 100 pennies?
In our case, Manoj, it's how we are currently investing, which is in our community, in our partnerships, and our events.
Okay. So let's drag them some here. So you said community. How many
community.
Would you invest in community?
Three.
Yeah. All right. Let's just go. That's easier to say. Community 30, and you.
That's 30 in event.
Event and 13 social. All right. 30.
No. Partnerships.
13 partnerships. Yeah.
Yeah, 13 partnerships and 13 events.
Gosh.
Oh, I don't have enough to put in the events.
Yeah, here we can move.
It's okay. We can put them the rest in events. That's fine. That's fine. That's perfect.
All right. So pretty focused, right? I love the focus that you have with your investment. Let's double click on partnerships. Like, what's working for you in partnerships?
So it's funny because you'd think that as a acting CMO, I would have put all my dollars in the marketing bracket because I've understood the pain of it so much. But the reality is that I've understood that marketing is all the other channels that I've just highlighted there.
Yeah.
Your best results as a marketer come from investing heavily in a community program, investing heavily in a partnership program, and events in person, we combine with the social attribution that we talked about earlier. That's also critical. So marketers, in the reality is that they have to manage all the other channels. So even though I put no pennies in the marketing funnel, it's because the marketers have to spend so much effort into this other channels, which is not a relationship that's very obvious for founder CEO like me, who didn't fully understand marketing until I got into the shoes of one.
This is great. Now let's take a look at the investment. So this is how this industry benchmark is. You know, we had over 300 go-to-market leaders come in and say this is how they're investing their pennies. And I'm going to overlay your investment, in orange against the community. When you see this graph, when you see this comparison, Alina, what surprises you?
I'm not surprised at all, Manoj. I'm always the contrarian in the market, so I can see that that is reflected in the averages as well. And I'll tell you why there's such a big discrepancy between mine and everybody else is because the reality is that community actually encompasses your customers, and your customers are only happy if your product is good. So if you have as an end goal the community and helping the community, everything else falls into place. The product falls into place. The sales is much easier. There's no friction in the business process anymore. So community is the biggest contributor to the success of a company. And there's no surprise here for me because all the podcasts that I do, all the other reasons why people invite me on so many places to speak is because it's my main area of focus is how to have to build a company of the future like a community and how to build the ecosystem around us like a community. Because the impact that we have on others and the impact we drive on a society level is felt throughout. And it's the group that wins in the end, not the individual contributor.
Well, thank you so much. This is great. Lena, thank you so much for sharing your insights and your investment strategies and the channels that work for you and the ICP and the AI with the community. I'm sure our community, our B2B go-to-market community is going to benefit immensely from this. So thanks, Alina. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Manoj, for inviting me.